my intention behind creating content is to share what I've learned or to answer questions that people are asking me, to answer questions I'm asking myself, and then I find out the answers. But it's really, it's about creating an open source, open book space where anything is kind of fair game to be shared.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a 5-part series with Kat Melham, Roaster Kat on Instagram. Kat, you are a coffee roaster and you are a content creator, and we are talking about ego in coffee, but this episode we are talking about the intentionality behind content creation. Why I wanted to have this conversation with you is because there are some people that have the intention of creating content so that they can get seen and they can get recognized and they can get Insta famous. And you create content to disseminate information and education to people. Talk to me about the difference between those kind of approaches to content in the coffee industry and what purpose they serve.
Yeah, I mean, I can really only obviously speak from my own experience, but when I started creating videos, it was because I was learning things and I thought other people should be able to learn those things as well. And Instagram was the most easily accessible, most readily available platform to start doing that. So I just started without any kind of framework or strategy or structure.
You didn't have a plan?
Oh, no, not at all.
Wow, you could have fooled me. Like, honestly, it looks, yeah, it's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, and that kind of gets to, as far as intentionality, for me, it's more about the reasons I create a video or the reasons I post, the things I want to communicate, rather than intentionality of like strategy. I know that all of the, you know, influencer marketing like advice is create a content strategy, and I've just never done that. Maybe I should. Maybe it would be a good idea.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, it's a lot more of my intention behind creating content is to share what I've learned or to answer questions that people are asking me, to answer questions I'm asking myself, and then I find out the answers. But it's really, it's about creating an open source, open book space where anything is kind of fair game to be shared. If I learn it, I want you to also be able to know it. That's how I started, from the first couple of videos that were like, here's a really great green coffee scoop that doesn't hurt my wrist. You can also probably find it, like, because it's great. I have posted a lot of coffee roasting curves because big shout out to Black and White, who has allowed me to post those, because as we talked about in a previous episode, a lot of people don't want their roast curves shared because it's proprietary information or whatever. But Black and White has been like, you can share them. It doesn't, you know, we don't
no secrets.
Need those to be secret. Posting some of the first things that I posted were roasting curves. That was like, here's what the green coffee looked like. here's what the roasted coffee looked like, and here's the roast curve that got it from green coffee to roasted coffee. Because yeah, I feel like, especially in the roasting space, a lot of people are insecure about their approach to roasting, especially new roasters, especially roasters who maybe are self-taught. They're like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Am I doing this right?
Mm.
And so I wanted to post curves to be like, it doesn't really matter. Like, if your curve looks like this, cool. If it doesn't, that's fine. Also, none of my curves look exactly the same because every coffee is different. Like, it's okay. And I've kind of just kept that same mindset of when I learn something interesting, I'll make a video and I'll post it because the intention is to share what I know and share what I learn. I don't have a whole lot of like insight or knowledge about the accounts of where folks are posting to like try and get, I don't know, Insta famous. I will say there are a number of accounts who have taken my videos and posted them without my consent ahead of time. That's a red flag to me to be like, oh, you're just trying to get followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily accounts that have a bunch of videos taken from a bunch of other creators' accounts, and they're like literally just trying to get followers. For what purpose? I don't know. Because if you're not creating your own videos, how are you going to get sponsored? What is your purpose?
That leads us to something really important. Their purpose is the feeling of being seen. We operate in a new currency, right? Like that like button is a way that people get a dopamine hit and they feel excited. So if they're building something that people appreciate, they feel like they're doing something for humanity and they're being loved, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Which is really dangerous in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I'll give you an example. We hired a couple of marketing companies to help us with our YouTube channel. Because we constantly hear people saying, why aren't hundreds of thousands of people watching your YouTube videos?
Mm-hmm.
And we wondered the same thing.
Yeah.
So I hired the first marketing company and I did not like what they had to say. And then I hired the second marketing company and I didn't like what they had to say because they had the same thing to say as the first marketing company. And then I hired the third marketing company and they had the same thing to say as the first two marketing companies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they had to say. You don't need to change your content. You do need to change your headlines and you need to change your thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, show me an example of what they would look like. And they were all doomsday. All of them. It was all clickbaity shit.
Yeah.
The content that you've got on your podcast is fantastic. Don't change a thing, but make it all sound like it's the end of the world. And we tested it.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And I knew it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't do it. I know we could take our channel to easily 100,000 subscribers and every video would get a couple hundred thousand views. No problem. Mm-hmm. We know that already.
Yeah.
But we won't hijack people's dopamine receptors for a few thousand dollars a month.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and that's the unfortunate state of the social media landscape these days, or the media landscape, is that it has to be sensational. It has to be a thumbnail that's like popping. And I think that, or at least, they say it has to. I do believe that there are other avenues for success or for sharing. And success being what does success mean?
Whatever you define that as.
Yeah. But I think in terms of social media, in terms of In terms of education, I think success is getting your content out there so more people can be educated. Word. It's not getting more likes because you want more likes or getting more views because it makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. But it's as an educator, the mark of success is people learning from your content, learning from what right. you're putting out there. I've definitely had, I feel like almost daily I have this moral quandary within myself of like, I'm putting, like, the more views I get, it means the more time people are spending on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily want to encourage people out there to be sitting on their phones and scrolling yeah. Instagram. Like, am I being bad for society by creating little videos about coffee roasting because it makes people be on Instagram more?
No.
But yeah, the end kind of idea that I've come to is like, as long as I am creating content that is useful, helpful, valuable, that is adding to people's understanding, to knowledge, like, then it's not all bad. But it is, and it's interesting, I have found, I mean, as I said in a previous episode, like, some of my most viewed content is stuff that I get one off in one take. It's 12 to 20 seconds long, me just being like, huh, look at this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's some of my most watched content. I also have a couple of my most watched videos are like 3 minute long things that I have on Instagram Reels. And, you know, the algorithm or the people will tell you that nobody's going to watch 3 whole minutes
Bullshit. On
Instagram. But I mean, a lot of my followers are fellow roasters and they'll sit and watch something if it's useful, interesting, valuable. And it doesn't have to be a quick clickbaity thing.
How do you feel about sponsors?
It's something that I'm trying to figure out exactly my thoughts, feelings.
I totally get it.
I will say, I get this kind of also goes back to the intentionality or the reasons for creating content. Because I do, like, I have, for a coffee account, I have a lot of followers, and I don't really make money off of it because I don't have something to sell. Like, I don't even have Roaster Cat merch. I don't have an online course that people can sign up for. I do consulting a little bit here and there, but, you know, the number of followers or the number of views that I have don't directly result in cash in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And so for me, in order to make any money on Instagram, I do have to, well, at this point, until I make a course that I can sell online, I have to work with sponsors or partners that, you know, people that pay me to make videos.
And you do them well. Like, I never look at, like, I know that you do, shout out to Trade. You take care of some of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I watch them and I think that's a way to do it in a way that it's clearly an ad, but it's not tacky. You know how you watch some people do ads and it's so fucking cringe. You're like, you would have been much better. You've lost complete credibility. Yeah. You're like, so look at this thing. And no, it doesn't look like that. But you still got to do it. Like, at the end of the day, you pour so much effort into this thing. It would be, you'd be remiss not to be making something from it and monetizing it somehow. But there is that kind of line of like, when is it the right time to make money off this? And who is the right person to promote on this channel? And am I compromising my credibility by doing that? Yeah. Do you struggle with that?
I don't struggle with it on a daily basis. I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm constantly assessing how I can do it well, because I don't want, I mean, and this also goes back to like with my Coffee People zine, with my magazine, from the beginning of that, it's an art publication,
right,
for the coffee community, but it's not a coffee publication. It's an art publication. And so even with that, from the beginning, I said, when I started accepting kind of like ads in that, from the beginning, I said, it has to look like art, and then people engage with it because it's art. And then they're like, oh, this is an ad for Barazza or Comandante. They've been sponsors in the past. It's not like a, you know, it when you're going through other industry magazines and it's a full page of like, well, this is clear. It's just like, buy this thing.
Right.
No, I'm not like, this is an art magazine. The ad has to be art. It has to be art first and foremost. And also, that's more fun for everyone. Because then the person who's even the audience who's paging through, they engage with it as art. And then they realize, oh, it's an ad. It's more fun for the creative team at the company who's sponsoring, because they get to create something that's artistic.
Different.
So I think I've kind of carried that mindset through with Roaster Cat as well. Like, I'm not going to work with companies that I'm not going to accept sponsorship from companies that I don't, first of all, believe in. Or as you mentioned in a previous episode for yourself, like the values don't align. For each of the companies that I've worked with. The top companies that I do sponsored content for right now are Trade, Ecotact, and Algrano. And I've had conversations with each of those companies, with people at each of those companies, like throughout the entire process. It's not a, here, we're going to pay you this money, and like you just like churn out content. I have conversations with them of, this is what I'm willing to talk about. Like, this is why I like your product, and this is what I would like to create, you know, content around your stuff. And how can we make it work for everyone, I guess. Because I don't want to create ads. I want to inform people about useful tools. And getting paid or not getting paid for that, to me, doesn't change why I would be making a video or why I'd be making a post. So Algrano, I just started working with them, and I really think that their platform is different than a lot of other green platforms out there. They aren't an importer. They are a platform. I kind of think of it as like Tinder for coffee buying. You can sign up as a producer.
It's a great way to put it. Dating app for green coffee.
Yeah. You could sign up as a roaster. You could sign up as a producer.
Match you.
They'll match you, and you talk about, you know, the pricing ahead of time. You talk about the flavors that you're looking for ahead of, like, it's not. And so I think that that's really cool. And so I'm happy to work with them, because a lot of people who follow me on Instagram are either roasters who are looking for green coffee to buy, or producers who are looking for.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, here's this tool. You guys should know about it. And then with Trade, I've talked to roasters who sell their coffee on Trade's platform, because again, as a roaster, I want to make sure that I'm representing roasters the best way that I can. And I know that I'm very grateful for my relationship with Trade, or my sponsorship from Trade, but I want to make sure that it is serving roasters. And I know that, you know, different roasters have different capacities to be on trades platform and whatever, but I want to know overall, are the people that I know who are on this platform happy with how it's working out for them? And so that's why I'm willing to continue, because I've heard from folks that it's a good way for them to, and I'll, you know, be fully transparent that roasters who are on trades platform don't make a lot of money selling their coffee.
It's a marketing endeavor.
Yes. It's a way for them to get their coffee into new places, new houses, who might then like it and then buy it from them directly. And so, but, and the folks that I've talked to are happy to use trades platform as that marketing capacity, because a lot, some of them don't have marketing budgets to spread their coffee. So yeah, they're, and I also, as far as sponsorships, it's something that I'm constantly thinking about, because even from the beginning, as I said, I didn't start Roaster Cat to make a lot of money. In fact, when I started being like, oh, people want to pay me to like host? That's weird. I said, like, cool. But I didn't start it to do that. But it does, it takes a lot of time to continue to make content and to respond to, I still like respond to all DMs and all comments that I get. I don't know how long I'll be able to do that, because it's a lot
it's
at
big.
This point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that takes a lot of time, and I want to continue to be able to do that for the people who find value and who find helpful, useful information on my page. And because Instagram itself doesn't pay me, because I'm not like a, you know, I have a Patreon, but it doesn't even make $100 a month.
Yeah.
Because the people who, you know, my followers themselves don't pay me, I have to find a way to make sure that I can make it sustainable for myself to put this time into the platform. Because I want to keep making videos and I want to keep educating. So I want to make sure that if and when I take sponsorship or create partnerships with companies that will pay me, that it's still in line with everything else that I'm doing, and that it's still adding value to the followers and the people who are watching my content.
I really appreciate you sharing that, because in a couple months we're going to announce, we don't usually do sponsorships on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's because we talk about some spicy shit and most people want to control, as you know. But this is a sponsorship that we're incredibly proud to be able to announce. And I... just hearing your thought process behind how you go about making that decision is really similar to the decision making process that I go through. So I appreciate the insight into, you know, you're a values driven business. I'm a values driven business. And one big thing that I always want to do on this podcast is to set the example for people that you don't have to be an asshole in business. You can be somebody who's driven by values and be successful. Right? Yeah. It takes you a little longer to get there, but I promise as you're arriving, you're collecting great people and making great relationships, and you have people who trust you, and nobody's ever going to be surprised because you show up every day to do the hard work that's necessary to make it happen. And so I'm really excited about this, this partnership that we're going to announce because it feels really great when you're able to partner with a business that you both get this mutual benefit from being seen working together. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear.
Watch this space. I think it's going to shock a lot of people actually. Or maybe not, but we have one episode to go, and this is going to be about where the hope is in coffee. Now we've been getting, and I just want to say thank you, because so many people have been contacting me via WhatsApp just to say thank you for saying and speaking about the things on this podcast that most people are not able or not willing to speak about. Because of that, it has been a little bit kind of depressing because there's a lot of depressing shit going on in the industry. The next episode is going to be all about hope. So I feel like we should start calling these episodes Hope Friday, because it's always like we want to end on a good note over every series. And so Hope Friday is kind of what it's about. So join us for the next episode, folks, the last of this series, where we're going to talk about where the hope in coffee is. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.